Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners. And in this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be discussing the question as to whether you can build an email list without a website. And it's a question I get asked a lot because I firmly believe in the power of email marketing, especially for small business. As someone who specializes in conversion rate optimization, I have seen again and again the benefits of selling via email as opposed to using other channels like social. And I know it's a super cost-effective way for small businesses to start getting out there, getting seen, getting heard about, building a reputation. However, many small businesses that I start working with or who might come into my membership, the Supercharger website membership, quite often don't have websites or they're in a transition period of upgrading and kind of replatforming and changing their websites. And so they put off creating an email list because they think they have to have a form embedded on a website or a dedicated URL. So I'm going to cover in this episode how you can start building an email list without a website. So there's no more excuses. You can build an email list alongside replatforming or re-upgrading or starting a new website from scratch. And I will cover some of the tools that I recommend to do this and some of the things that you'll need to consider as you're doing this in this episode. So it's going to be jam-packed email chat. I'll see you in a sec. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Right, let's get to business and chat all about whether you can build an email list without a website. Long story short, yes, you can, right? You might be in the position right now of upgrading your business, right? You're moving from just having an Amazon store or an eBay store or maybe an Etsy store, and you're creating a new website for yourself. And you are going to need an email list in order to collect the customer data and people who want to hear more from you so that you can keep in touch with them. Right? Because if you're not doing that because you're on one of those platforms, totally get it. But this is the next level up for you, right? You're going to need to manage an email list alongside your website. It's just not up for discussion at all, especially if you're selling products via your website as well. And this is because, number one, it's just super cost effective, right? There's no physical cost to sending emails. You can send as many as you like without an increased cost usually. And you can automate the emails that you send as well. So every time someone buys from you, send an email. Then you can automate to send a follow-up email to see if they like the product. If people have just signed up to hear more from you, but they haven't bought from you, you can send them a welcome email. Then follow up and check in with them a week later, a month later. Just keep in touch with them generally. It's just insanely effective still in 2021 at converting users, right? With some industries, because the conversion rate can vary, right, from industry to industry and depending on the type of emails that you send. But some industries report conversion rates as high as 10% from email campaigns. And the stat I love to see bandied around on kind of various marketing blogs is that approximately for every dollar you spend, you can make $40, something like that, $40 back with email marketing. It's crazy, right? So you need to manage a list. And I talk to so many business owners who are just getting a website started and they're like, yeah, great, I'll do that as soon as my website's ready. Yep, great, Vicky. When my website's ready, I'll embed the form and start driving users to sign up to my email list then. And I've heard every possible reason and excuse for why you can't start collecting emails and building up your own subscriber list. Like, things just don't have to be perfect first at all. And you could be losing out on getting people interested in your product launch, your service, your new website that's coming. There might be people out there who really want to hear from you, and you are denying them the chance to keep in touch with you, or for you to keep in touch with them. So if I haven't put across how important I think it is for you to start creating an email list, then at least start looking at your own inbox, right? Start understanding the type of emails that you engage with. Start looking at the emails that you get sent and what you like and interact with. It could be a thank you email after you've just bought a product, or a reminder email, or a newsletter that you're signed up to. But chances are you've remembered the business in charge of that email because they've popped up in your inbox, as opposed to seeing them on your social feeds or finding them in search. We, as internet users, are in our inboxes every single day. The stats for it are insanely high, right? We check our emails every day, like 99% of us or something like that. Email still has a really relevant place in the world. And if you think for a second that your ideal customer doesn't respond to email, then you're wrong. They need email to sign up to social networks. They need email to correspond securely with clients. They are still using email. And your hesitation to creating an email list might be down to some perfection that you need to address. And if you know me and you've been listening to my podcast and you know me from my membership, you know I'm all about just get it live, right? And deal with the perfection stuff later. But also, I think we have a little fear of, what if no one signs up? What if no one signs up to my list? Well, you've got to start somewhere, haven't you? You have to start somewhere, and you can't do that unless you start. Go and do it. And I'm going to talk through, like I said in the intro, some tools that you can go and get started with building an email list straight after you listen to this episode. That's the kind of like the big picture thinking. Why you specifically need an email marketing tool as opposed to just emailing people like direct is because you need, in 2021, you need to protect users' data. Signing up to a third-party email marketing tool is the only way that you can do this. Gone are the days where we used to manage spreadsheets of email data that used to be kept on our desktops, unsecure. I've even worked in companies where emails were on post-it notes next to computer screens. Email lists used to be shared, sold. We had no respect for people's email address back in the old days. And by we, I mean businesses. Data laws that have come into play over the past like 10 years means you need to ensure that the person who's decided to sign up to your email list can do so, right, with peace of mind, that you won't be selling their email address to someone. We've had enough of spam. We want our email addresses respected, and we don't want our data shared without our permission. So signing up with a third-party email marketing tool means that you give the responsibility of looking after that data to them, and they are really good at it. There's a big software company here in Brighton in the UK where I live called Pure 360, and they're an email marketing provider tool. And I know a few people who've worked there because I've worked at a big software company in Brighton called Brandwatch. So you tend to chat down the pub, and it's quite fascinating to hear what working at Pure 360 was like, because security there was so tight that employees had to scan their thumbs into a thumb reader before they could enter the building. They were serious about looking after their servers, right, where email data was stored. And that's because the fines, right, for mishandling user data, especially in these GDPR times, right, are massive. So again, it's best to get help from the professionals. Tools like Pure 360 or MailChimp or ConvertKit, which is my favorite email marketing tool, will also give you the tools to ensure that you're acting in a GDPR compliant way as well. And if you don't know what GDPR is, do go and have a little read up about it online. It's the General Data Protection Regulation. And it came into play a few years ago as a way of ensuring that users' personal data was protected from businesses mishandling that data, but also that users had the right to request that their data be removed. There was transparency on how their data is being used. It's a big deal. How it relates to website owners is that if you are asking someone to sign up to your email list, you need to get their permission. So gone are the days when you could just open up an email marketing tool, use an email marketing tool like MailChimp, dump in your contacts list and then email everyone. You have to have the permission of everyone who's on your list, like written, like they have to engage in some type of interaction to say, yes, I'm happy with being on that list. You can't assume, it can't be passive agreement. So the way around that for a lot of businesses is just to ensure that someone clicks a checkbox as they're signing up to a list. Yes, I agree to be on that list, submit. And that the very act of clicking that checkbox and pressing the button is kind of like the nonverbal agreement, if you like. Tools like ConvertKit and MailChimp also have mechanisms embedded into them. So you can send a user an email as well and get them to confirm by email that they're okay with being on your list as well. Another great advantage to using a third-party email marketing tool is that you can automate the process of sending emails. So in the old days, it was pretty typical, and by old days, I'm talking like 20 years ago, it's pretty typical to like use the blind CC method, you know? So when you used to just put everyone's emails in a field in like Outlook or something, so no one could see each other's emails, and then just send 100 people an email once a week. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore because what's the point? You don't know who's opened that email. You can't trigger an email to send to people who've clicked on a link, for example. You can't segment people based on where they live in the world or how they behave when you send their emails. You can do all of that with third-party email marketing tools. You can set up rules and reports, who didn't tell you who opened those emails. You can tag users to understand a little bit more about their behavior. You can 100% trigger automations. So like I said, I'm a really big fan of ConvertKit, but in my membership, I love recommending MailChimp to get started because MailChimp's been going years. There's a lot of trust there. Right, it knows how the system works. It really does understand user behavior, and you know, it's designed its tool accordingly. Although I would say it doesn't have the most intuitive interface, and it can be quite a hassle to know where things are. But once you know where things are, you're up and running. It's quite a good beginner's tool, and it connects really well with, I'd say, like 90%. of platforms out there, including my favorite WordPress. And it's also got some really good pre-built designs and email templates and landing pages as well. So you don't even need to design your email before you start. Again, that's another hindrance from the old days of email marketing. We used to have to code our email templates before we sent them out. Don't need to do that anymore. MailChimp give you these gorgeous pre-designed layouts. It's also free, which is why I recommend it, up to the first 2,000 subscribers. So if you are totally new to email marketing, then it's a great first choice, I believe. I use ConvertKit, which until recently was a paid tool. I just love the simplicity of the interface in ConvertKit, and it focuses you on writing rather than worrying about like pretty email templates, essentially. But in the past few months, ConvertKit have also launched a free option. So you can start using it for up to the first 1,000 subscribers. So for me, this has made it a rather exciting player in the email marketing space for small and emerging businesses. Like I said, what I love about ConvertKit is how easy it is to find everything that you need. So you can learn quite quickly about the concept of tagging bits of like labels to all of your users and then learning how to send different types of emails to the different tags that you've assigned to your users. I find that's not so intuitive in MailChimp. What I want to make clear, right, is that the tech that you choose doesn't matter. Both of those tools are really good. There's other tools out there that are a little bit more advanced, like ActiveCampaign, tools out there that are even simpler, like MailerLite. It doesn't necessarily matter what tool you pick, okay? Because the best way to get started with growing your email list after you've picked a tool is to just actually start asking people to join your email list. You know me, I like simplicity, right? If you don't tell people that you have an email list, then they're never going to know. And if you don't give them a reason to sign up to your email list, they're not going to sign up. Now, tools like MailChimp and ConvertKit are usually only thought to work, right, if you already have a website. Yes, Vicky, I'd love to use that, but I can't embed any forms on my website yet because my website isn't complete. However, they and all the other email providers I've mentioned as well, but they have secret weapon tools within them. They can host your form on their own site. So it's like the equivalent of having your email form embedded on your Facebook page, for example, which of course is hosted by Facebook. They'll give you a special URL that you can share. So MailChimp and ConvertKit both ask you to set up forms to collect your user data when you first sign up to use them. So that data that you need to collect at the very minimum needs to be an email. I highly recommend collecting the first name of your user as well, because it's just really lovely to personalize an email. It just makes a user feel like the email is meant for them when used correctly, because when used too much, it's a bit cringe. But at least addressing them by their name within the email and with the to field of your email, very powerful stuff. I don't think you need to collect any more information other than first name and email, but it really depends on you and your business. But that form that you create doesn't have to look fancy. And when you create that form within MailChimp, there's a little link at the top of the form builder that you can just take and start sharing on your social platforms, email the link to that page to your friends and ask them to sign up that way. Maybe ask your clients, your customers to sign up that way as well. You need to physically send the link to your page and get people to request to be part of your email list rather than you just adding them without permission, just to remind you of that point. You don't need to embed the forms on your website if your website's not ready. Now, the MailChimp form page is pretty limited in what you can do with it. You can add a logo and change the color of the background, maybe like a picture or something like that. And ConvertKit, I think, is a little bit more next level, because when you sign up for an account, if you say you don't have a website, because it will ask you in the wizard when you first create an account with them, it jumps you straight to creating a landing page, right? And if you've heard me talk about this before, read this on my blog, the difference between a website and a landing page is a landing page is a one-page website that has one function, more often than not, to get people to sign up to an email list or to buy a thing. In this case, this is all about getting people to sign up to your email list. And the landing page designs on ConvertKit are just awesome. Like, you can pick a design, swap the image out, change some of the text and, you know, the text on the button. And it will give you a fun link that's not, doesn't look too horrible. As in, like, there's not lots of characters and letters and numbers that you can take out and share on your socials or kind of send to your customers or whatever. The MailChimp landing pages are a bit more clunky and aren't as focused on just signing up for an email. You have to remove a lot of sections on some of the landing pages because they give you the kitchen sink, and then you kind of have to remove things. And I would say, like, the design slash builder interface on MailChimp landing pages aren't as lovely. Like I said, what I love about email sign up landing pages is that they've only got like one function, and that's to get users to sign up to your list. So if you're waiting to create a website, you know, your website's being built, or it's something that you're putting off for a while, all you have to do is work on optimizing that page to increase email signups. So, for example, if you're sharing the link to this new landing page that you've created on your socials, and you know people are clicking and going and looking at the page, and if you don't know that, you can use like link trackers like Bitly to do that. Then if you know they're clicking and they're going to look at the page, then you need to work on tweaking your page to improve the conversion. And classically, right, conversion is something that business owners put way down their list. And by conversion, I mean improving the outcome of the purpose of your page on your website. So, you know, like I said, business owners put it way down the list because they've got so much more important things to do if they've already got a website up and running. But if all you're doing right now is building an email list, then you have the time and the energy to dedicate to improving the conversion of your page. And you can do that by trying different headlines to convince people to sign up. So if your headline currently says, "Hi, please sign up to my email list," and people aren't signing up to your email list, then what headline can you create that packs more punch when someone reads it? Sign up to my email list and get notified when I go live. Sign up to my email list and get 10% off your first order when I go live. Like, create some excitement about your new upcoming website, your new upcoming product launch, whatever it is. Try different images as well. Images on email sign-up pages do work. If you pick that one image that encapsulates everything that you do and offer, you've got a better chance of getting someone to engage with you. If the background's blank, then people can't visualize why they're going to be signing up to this email list. So if you're a product person, maybe consider putting a preview of your products. Or you could be really clever and put like an image with "coming soon" over the top of your product so people can't quite see it properly. I mean, just like I said, create some excitement about what's coming up. You can update the button copy. Sign up is very pedestrian. You might see the copy on lots of buttons actually turn the language into the first person of the user. So, yes, I want amazing news on a weekly basis. Yes, I want 10% off my first purchase. Buttons don't just have to say sign up. You can be clever with them. You can also consider as well a lead magnet. So I've already kind of hinted at those with like 10% off. That's a lead magnet. Like, it is literally a magnet to users to come and sign up to your list through, you know, a persuasion tactic. So money off if you're a product person is pretty typical. Value in like a guide, a list, an ebook, a video, an email series. I mean, lead magnets can cover so many things, but what's the little hit of value that you can give someone immediately in exchange for signing up to your email list? Once you've got these things in place, it's really important to ensure that you send some type of automation to your user so you can thank them for signing up to your list and either deliver the lead magnet or tell them how often you're going to sign up, or just talk in your voice and start building that trust. With MailChimp, you get one free automation when you sign up for the free account. So what that means is you can set up an automatic email that sends when someone signs up to your email list via your landing page, which is brilliant. So you can welcome to the list, you can let them know what to expect, give them links to maybe products that they can buy over on your Etsy store, or give them links to your socials if you haven't got a website yet, so they can keep in touch with you that way. But you must do something with them as soon as they've signed up, especially if you've got a lead magnet. You need to deliver said lead magnet, right? And at the moment, you don't get automations when you sign up for ConvertKit. So, you know, that doesn't matter, because if you're literally just starting out building your email list, then you could probably just check in and see how many subscribers you've got every few days and just manually send like a welcome email to users every few days. Final part of this then is, you know, what next, right? You've got a landing page, you've got a link, you've got an automation or not. What do you do next? And I'd say this, the first 10 subscribers that you get on your email list are the hardest. They're the hardest to get, because you have to overcome some expectations that you might have about how long it takes and the things that work. And you've got to go and do some hand-to-hand combat. You've got to physically take that landing page link out to people, out to where your ideal customers are living online, and ask them. And that can be terrifying for some business owners. A good place to start is people who've already been your customers, right? Because likelihood is, yes, they'd like to continue hearing from you, especially if you're going to treat them a certain way if they stay on your list. Like, you know that, like, if I'm on your list, I'm always going to get, you know, good freebies and money off and things like that. Again, remember that you have to ask them permission to be on your list. If you've got social accounts set up, go and ask people on your socials. Go and ask them to sign up to your list. But again, remember that this is quite an ask on social, because you're asking people who are on, like, they're scrolling on Instagram or scrolling on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, to disrupt what they're doing and go off and sign up to your email list. You have to give them a good enough reason to go and sign up. That's where a lead magnet comes into play. Like, that little hit of value. If you go and sign up, you will get this, right? And if you don't know what to give them, ask them. Maybe throw up a poll, see what they would like. Competitions are also a really good way to get people to sign up via socials as well. You know, do a giveaway and ask people to sign up to your email list, and then you'll pick a winner from that email list. But it's a big ask to get people to stop the behavior that they're behaving on social and go and sign up to an email list. But if you can get to your first 10, congratulations. It's a great feeling. Don't forget to email them and start nurturing them and saying thanks for being on your list and checking in with them. The next push, I'd say, is getting to your first 50. Because when you get there, that's like, you mean business then. Especially because average open rates for emails are around, it depends on industry again, but around 20%. So if you can get to 50 subscribers, let's assume that 10 people on your list are always going to open your emails. And you're going to, each time you email, get in front of 10 people. That should galvanize you to keep going. I got to my first 100 subscribers in 4 weeks. And I did that by going out and asking people to engage with the survey that I created that was on a landing page, and asked them to kind of give permission to be on my email list to find out about a beta course, a beta version of a course. Like, that's the, you know, the sort of first version of a course that I was creating. So I gave value here about my upcoming course. And I literally went out and posted that request in hundreds of Facebook groups. I found groups that had promo threads. I asked for recommendations. I contacted admins of groups and asked them if they felt that this was something that I could get permission to share. Lots said no. A couple said yes. I literally went out and hand drove 100 subscribers to my list. After that, it gets much easier, right? But you've got to put the effort in. And you can do this because you'll have the energy to focus on doing this because you're not managing a big old website yet. Right, so I hope you've enjoyed that kind of, I feel like that was almost like a sermon on why running an email list is so important for your business. But more importantly, I hope it's giving you inspiration to know that if you are in between websites, if you haven't started yet, you can go and do this now. Okay, just before recording this podcast, I just wanted to check the process of signing up to ConvertKit. And it took me less than 5 minutes to create a landing page. Now, I kind of know what I'm doing, I think, but give yourself 20 minutes. The wizard's really intuitive and easy to use. You could get started with a landing page to drive users to a brand new email list that you've just created straight after this podcast, if you wanted to. Okay, good luck with growing those email lists. I'm going to put links to all of the resources that I've talked about in this episode in the show notes, including I've got a link to ConvertKit and MailChimp for you, plus some resources about landing pages that you can read up about on my blog as well. And as usual, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and go and drop a review, because the more reviews you get, the higher you go up in the charts, the more you get found. So I'd like really appreciate any time that you can spend just dropping me a quick review over on iTunes. If you want to chat more about integrating email into your websites, or just noodle about email marketing in general, then my DMs on Instagram are always open. And listen, if you are on Clubhouse, I have started running a weekly quick hit review session with my good friend Colette Stevenson every Friday morning at 10 a.m. GMT at the moment. And if you're not on Clubhouse, find someone to get you on Clubhouse, get an invite. It's iPhone only, but it's an audio only social network. So it's like being on a group call when we all chat. And it's been amazing to do website reviews with, like, in this format over the past couple of weeks. And it'd be great to hear from you. Okay, thanks so much for listening. And I'll be back for the next episode next week.